I sat down to write a checklist of standards, grade by grades, for math in the same way that I did for language arts in my homeschooling coaching community. And I realized that the standard listed in Home Learning Year by Year that I used for language arts is significantly different than the Waldorf approach to math. For this podcast, I'm going to back out and give an overview of how I approach math as a whole and what I teach when and kind of why that is. Like I mentioned in the introduction, I sat down to do a simple checklist year by year from kindergarten to eighth grade of what you should cover in math. And it became really obvious as I was going through the book that I'm using as a source for those standards, Home Learning Year by Year, that the approach to math was very different. So in standards in general, there's always some discrepancy about what we introduce and when we introduce that and when it should be mastered. So that there was some discrepancy wasn't too surprising to me, but what was really surprising to me is how far off those were. There were huge differences. For the language arts checklist, I was able to go through and put the things from the different curricula that I had used and my own experience, and then take the standards for home learning year by year and integrate all of those things together. But that didn't work for math at all. And I realized that I really needed something that went over how I approached teaching math from kindergarten all the way up through eighth grade. We can talk a little bit about high school, but I think by the time most people get to high school, they're outsourcing most of their content anyway, or you could alternatively take teacher training like I did. If I'm looking at math education from the broadest view possible, I would separate it into about five different categories. From kindergarten and younger, the vast majority of this is early childhood, and it's my personal philosophy that everything should be done through exploration and play. So playing with numbers, lots of counting, kids love to count, skip counting, regrouping, collecting various items, subitizing, all of this naturally happens with children very young. And this would be my first category. Then when we start formal academics in Waldorf, that happens at age 7. For the first 4 years, we're basically learning arithmetic on different levels. And in Waldorf in particular, and I think in other places, whether they recognize it or not, we're doing a spiraled approach, right? We're starting with basic concepts of the four processes, and we're building upon those every year as we circle back around to them. The next category that I would have is 5th and 6th grade. And though there is some new material in both of these grades, particularly in 5th grade, decimals and percents are introduced, which is a big jump. That's a big concept to learn. But the vast majority of the time in both of those grades are spent on mastering the information that we learned from grades 1 through 4. The next group would be 7th and 8th grade. And here is where we really start doing real math, when we're moving away from counting in various ways, because all of the four processes are different ways to count, to abstract thinking, and we look into things like the law of exponents and irrational numbers and radicals and ratios. And this is my favorite. Well, one of my favorites. I love all of math education, but it's fun to start exploring these higher level concepts in math. And then The last portion that we have is high school, and in high school, we're really taking all those things that we learned in middle school and using those for even more abstract thinking. I want to tell you that some of my thoughts about this broad view are deeply influenced by Waldorf, but specifically Jamie York's work, and Gattegno. Gattegno did quite a bit of work with the Cuisenaire rods, and he is no longer living, but he did a great deal of work with math education. Let's go over each one of those piece by piece. I'm going to skip the preschool years and place all of that information into kindergarten. This is assuming very early childhood, lots of play, no formal education. So everything that is taught is done so through play. A lot of this happens naturally, but I do think the best investment in our children is investment in ourselves. Meaning, if we take the time to learn about early childhood and math education and what they need, also with literacy, then we can do the vast majority of any teaching that happens through play. And a lot of it happens naturally, but it allows us to be better coaches, better direction, answer the questions easier. So first I'm looking at kindergarten. And like I said before, this is early childhood, so play is essential. It is the work of this period of their lives. Again, not that they shouldn't be learning, but the learning happens through exploring, playing, discovering. Some of the basic concepts that are happening, the very first is counting, and children love to count objects, or they will just count, similar to singing the ABCs, even though they don't have a concept of what those numbers mean yet. And then they start to connect quantities with the counting. Once we start doing that, we can start subitizing. Subitizing is when we can look at a group of objects, and because of its general shape or pattern, we can tell immediately how many is in that object or how many is in that group. The easiest thing to think of are the dotted dice, the dotted six-figure dice. You can look and know that the one is just one, that two dots is two. You don't really have to think about it too much, all the way to three. And we can also do that with higher numbers based on lower numbers. These really match with the very, very basic number bonds. One and two gives us four. One and two and three gives us seven, and so forth. Those very basic things. One of my favorite things to do with my kids, because I don't know if it's just my children or if it's innate on all children. I think it's an innate thing in all children, but they loved to collect things, all kinds of things. We would collect rocks. We would collect acorns. We would collect hickory nuts. We would have all kinds of these things. And one of the things that you can do is use all of those things as math manipulatives. So with Waldorf, the philosophy is from the whole to the parts. I'll explain more of that when we get to multiplication. But in that case, we would take a small group of acorns, let's say, maybe eight, and then we would divide those up into different groups. This encompasses both number bonds and the subitizing. So if it's in different groups, what are all the different variations of groups that we can make for eight? For instance, we can have one group of two, one group of three, and another group of three for eight. Another aspect that begins in these early years is comparison. If I have two groups, which one has greater, which one has less? By how many? So if you're making two groups and you make two of those groups equal, one of those groups is going to have some left over. This leftover is an increase of how much in comparison. So that also naturally happens in early childhood. Other concepts that can be explored through play include playing with the 100 block. You could just play with the blocks in general. There's lots of things to explore with just the blocks, or you could put the numbers into order or just play with them in general, build pyramids. There's all kinds of things that you can do with the 100 block. You can also play with different patterns, you know, like A, B, A, B, A, B patterns, like basic patterns of color, of shapes. You can play with different tiles, attribute tiles, repeating or modeling different shapes or making pictures. You can explore bar graphs. I love the game Orchard by Hoppe, where you're collecting different fruits. It's a cooperative game, so you're collectively trying to collect these fruits before the crow gets them. But this offers at the end of the game a wonderful visual that can be easily drawn in a picture graph. And the last thing that I want to mention is the geometry, which comes naturally in the same way that we start identifying colors and numbers and letters and so forth with the basic shapes, the circles, the squares, the rectangles, ovals, triangles, and so forth. Oh, and I forgot one that's worth mentioning, and that is to just play with measurements if you want. Weigh things, measure things, play with capacity, but measurement could also be explored in the early years. Next, we're going to talk about first grade, and here we're moving into formal academics where we're starting school. Waldorf philosophy on math, but as a whole, is very child oriented, like whole child oriented. So it considers the child development. And in these early years, we still have a lot of that early childhood going on. So much of our math is still very much whole child oriented. Lots of art, lots of movement, lots of song, lots of stories. And first grade, really, I would say all of the years, the first 4 years, but particularly with first grade, we are establishing a sense of numbers. And the way that we do that is to play with the numbers. So we're counting, we're sorting, we're sequencing, we're comparing, we're exploring even an odd, we're exploring the four processes. We're using lots of manipulatives for first grade, but also for all the years after. We are scaffolding in our exploration of math. So we're starting from simple. We're working towards more difficult. We're going through the same kind of sequence for understanding our number sense, and we're spiraling each time, building on that same concept a little deeper, little more difficult. In Waldorf, the first block to introduce math is quality of numbers. It is absolutely delightful. It is one of my favorite blocks in math and such a wonderful introduction to math and numbers. And I just want to say the experience is so fabulous that if your child did not experience quality of numbers, then I would even suggest this into the later grades, well up into maybe third grade. Quality of numbers is a study of numbers. So unlike all of the math, including the rest of Waldorf math, with quality of numbers, we are focusing on the number itself, where we find it in nature, what it looks like on circles, what it looks like when we're counting, and its relationship to other numbers. During this same year, we're also introducing the four processes. All four processes in Waldorf get introduced at the same time. And though we don't spend a whole lot of time on multiplication and division this year, we do continue with skip counting, and we explore and practice addition and subtraction. With the rods, we do a lot of staircases, trains, and mats with the rods. And this year, we're also focusing on the number bonds. And when I talked about the Waldorf philosophy going from the whole to the part, what I am talking about here is instead of presenting any of the math facts, addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division, as, for instance, 3 plus 5 equals 8, Waldorf asks, what is 8? And then there's a wide variety of options, right? Because 8 has several different kinds of number bonds. You can make 8 with 2 and 6. You can make 8 with 4 groups of 2. You can make 8 with 2 groups of 4. You can make 8 with 1 and 1 and 2 and 2 and 2. This is the whole to the part, and this helps us particularly in multiplication because then we start to see the arrays and how they work when we work with area model multiplication. Moving into second grade, we spiral what we've done with addition and subtraction, but now we're using larger digits, particularly because this is the year that we introduce place value. That introduction of place value allows us the work with regrouping, which is the new term for borrowing and carrying. Like I talked about before with scaffolding, we're always supporting them along the way. I personally like to back up a little bit and review some of the concepts that we've done before at a more basic level, and then we move forward, but we're moving from simpler to more complex. So with addition, when we start doing two-digit addition, we start with teens with a single digit, and then we move to two digits with a single digit. And depending on where the child is at the end of the year, we might possibly introduce two-digit by two-digit addition. The rods are integral in this introduction, and I like to use a variety of manipulatives, not just the rods, but the rods just express math so well. But before, where we were making trains and mats, now we're going to separate our rods by place value. We're going to have our tens and our ones, and this shows our regrouping really well because we're going to take our ones and line those up. If we have over 10, we're going to trade our additive, whatever that is, for a 10 and the 1, and then we're going to place that 10 with our other 10s. This year, we also have a soft introduction to multiplication. All the tables are introduced. You go through all the multiplication flowers and the work with the circles, the 10-point circle and the 12-point circle with multiplication, as well as the rhythmic movement to go with the multiplication table. With the rods, we start to move from the mats that we were making also to area model multiplication, where we're showing arrays or rectangles for multiplication. And here we're able to explore the commutative property, where it doesn't matter which order we go in, the answer is always the same. So if we have 2 times 6 or 2 sixes, that is the same as 6 times 2 or 6 twos. Time is also introduced in this year with calendar work, days of the week, months of the year, and making a clock and practicing, at least learning to tell time by the hour. Moving into third grade, we are building that foundation so far that we have with addition and subtraction and multiplication and division. This is the year that we introduce vertical denotation for all four processes, and we spend quite a bit of time with this on addition and subtraction. Again, we're moving in with larger numbers, so we're looking at two-digit plus two-digit numbers or higher. We're doing the same thing with place value, where we're increasing the number of place values that we are working with now and that we are practicing to know. Also, for addition and subtraction, we are mastering those facts if they're not already memorized. In the way that we are scaffolding, when we're doing multi-digit addition and subtraction, we're first starting without regrouping, And then we are adding regrouping into the mix. With place value and multiplication, we are also working on multiplying and dividing by magnitudes of 10. Multiplication is also increasing the numbers that we're working with. We're introducing vertical notation here, so this is long multiplication, and that's coming towards the end of the year. We do a lot of exploration in area model because that prepares us for the decomposition by place value that is necessary for long multiplication. In addition to that, it's really important that children understand the distributive property, which the rods also show really well with area model multiplication. In my house, we call it crisscross applesauce, and that's because in Vedic multiplication, it shows a butterfly pattern with two lines going up and down for the ones and the tens, and the X in between each one and each 10. So crisscross applesauce. But essentially, it is every place value of one number has to be multiplied by every place value of another number. So when we are working with multiplication facts, they're also doing from the whole to the part. So instead of saying 3 times 4 is 12, they say 12 is 3 times 4. And that moves us straight into factor work because that gives us the total and then we choose the array. So our 12 is 3 and 4, but it can also be 2 and 6, or it can be 1 and 12. And this moves us into the exploration of factors, composite and prime numbers, and greatest common factors and least common factors. This is also the year that measurement block is brought forward, and this is a fun exploration of measurement of all kinds through different activities where you're measuring length, you're measuring by weight, you're measuring by capacity. So there's lots of experiential activities that are happening for this block. With grade 4, we are building on the foundation and the work that we've done in grade 3. So we're building with larger numbers in both place value, addition, subtraction, and multiplication and division. In multiplication, we are mastering or coming close to mastering the multiplication tables. We are also moving to two-digit by two-digit multiplication using vertical notation. We're practicing that. We're setting up area model for this so that we can clearly see where each piece is coming from, what we are doing. And if you are introducing Vedic multiplication, that happens here. If not, it's the standard algorithm, which is vertical long multiplication. Also in fourth grade, most people introduce long division. And long division is a pretty complex algorithm. And to understand what's happening, we have to have a solid foundation first in place value, because that's how we decompose and recompose the numbers, is by place value the vast majority of the time. Long division doesn't have to be done that way, but that's usually how we do it. So we have to have an understanding of place value and decomposition and recomposition, as well as have multiplication pretty mastered and have a clear understanding of multiplying by powers of 10. Personally, long division gets introduced in fifth grade at my house because I feel like we really need to spend the time in fourth grade mastering multiplication. And I also introduce fractions in third grade. So we're doing quite a bit of fraction work in fourth grade, and I just feel like that makes it a pretty heavy year. Waiting until fifth grade gives just a little bit more rest, solidification of those skills that we're learning, and I feel like they're better prepared in fifth grade. But the vast majority, public school and Waldorf, introduce long division at the end of fourth grade. Year four also has us continuing our factor work with prime factorization, least common factors, greatest common factors, and the rules of divisibility. We also introduce fractions, and this is a big unit, in the same way that we need to develop number sense for whole numbers. We need to develop number sense for fractions. So basically, we're starting that process all over again, that counting, sorting, sequencing, comparing, all of that starts over again with fractions. We need to develop that sense. So there's a lot of play, a lot of manipulation with fractions. We're counting by fractions, 1/4, 2/4, 3/4, so on. We are comparing fractions. How does 1/2 compare to 1/4? How many 1/4s can I fit in 1/2? We're back to using manipulatives and several different kinds of manipulatives if we can. We need to do more than just circles. I love circles, but we also need groups as a whole, and we're dividing them up into different fractions. We're also introducing the four processes here and working with those four processes on a basic level for this year. Fifth grade. So fifth and sixth grade, I talked about in the beginning, are really years that we are working on solidifying and mastering all the arithmetic that we have learned up to this point. But there is a pretty big block that comes in fifth grade, and that is decimals and percents. A lot of time is spent on the relationship of fractions to decimals and to percents. First, we're looking at 1/10, then we're looking at 1/100. We're exploring fractional equivalency, and we're doing some of what we did before because we need to develop that same number sense for percentages and decimals as we did for whole numbers and fractions. So we're spending some time counting, we're spending some time sorting, comparing, those kind of things. And then also, I think it's imperative here that we memorize some more math facts. I don't see a lot of people talk about this, but I think that the decimal equivalents to several of the fractions, most of the fractions, so 1/2, 1/3, 1/4, 1/5, etc., through maybe 1/10, maybe even 1/12, really needs to be memorized. Some of them are a little more challenging to memorize than others. A lot of them are pretty easy, like the 1/4, 1/2, 3/4 series is pretty easy, particularly because it is so connected with our money system. And then 1/3 and 2/3 is not too difficult to memorize. Some of the harder ones are like 5/6 and 7/8 are kind of challenging to remember, but there are certain patterns and tricks that you can remember there. And then 1/7 and 1/9 are a little challenging, but there is actually a pattern for both of those that makes the decimal equivalents a little easier to remember. And my personal opinion is, just like subtraction and addition facts, just like multiplication and division facts, I feel like these fractional and percent and decimal equivalents also needs to be memorized for those fractions. There are two other blocks that get introduced in this year. One is the metric system block, which fits perfectly right in with the decimal and percent, since that's a base 10 system. And then freehand geometry. And this is such a delightful geometry. If you all know, I'm in love with Waldorf geometry anyway. It is how I found Waldorf, was through the geometry, my son's sixth grade geometry. And I fell in love with Waldorf geometry. So in fifth grade, we move from geometry being integrated from other studies, particularly form drawing, just in general, to specifically presenting a block for geometry, and our form drawings move into geometric form drawings. One of the things that I love about geometry, particularly about fifth grade geometry, because everything's done freehand at this point. There's no compass or constructions. It's all freehand, but it's very experiential. We're walking circles, we're walking squares, we're walking triangles, we're shading circles, we're shading squares and triangles, cutting out shapes, moving them, arranging them, playing, looking at shadows. Geometry is just such a wonderful thing. And like our form drawings, if you do form drawing in your homeschooling, so much work is happening before the pencil ever makes it to the page. But the result of our main lesson book is a series of these beautiful form drawings and picture proofs. Moving on to sixth grade, we're continuing the skills that we learned in arithmetic from 1 to 4th grade, and then continuing 5th grade's work on decimal and percentages, and we are bringing in a new block of business math for this grade. And this looks at percentages in a new way where we're finding the base and then the percent increase or decrease. It goes through a whole economic system kind of presentation in a very Waldorfish way, starting with ordering. And then we introduce sixth grade geometry. And in sixth grade geometry, this is the first year we're introducing a straight edge and a compass. And this work is also pretty experiential, but we're doing a lot of geometric constructions, and we're building from more simple geometric constructions to more complex geometric constructions, very much in the same way that I imagine the Greek students of Euclid or Aristotle would be doing. There's very much a focus on accuracy and precision, and we move into the constructions of the more basic or easier to draw polygons that are inscribed inside of a circle. So we're using that circle to draw these precise geometric polygons. I say simple, we start with two points forming a line, and then we move into the triangle, the square. The pentagon is skipped because that is not a simple construction. And then you move into the hexagon, and I think maybe the octagon, and then you move into division of 12 and division of 24 of a circle. There's no major formal proofs or language to go with that yet. That doesn't happen till high school, but we do have picture proofs and logic proofs. There's also some work on spirals in this year. The real math starts with seventh grade. Here we start to shift from mastering those arithmetic skills to moving into higher level abstract thinking. There's a lot of what we would usually consider pre-algebra, but there is a small amount of algebra here. So we're exploring exponents, exploring negative numbers, exploring radicals. We're taking a deeper look into ratios and irrational numbers. Seventh grade geometry reviews sixth grade geometry and then works on adding in the pentagon, which is a more complex construction of that polygon, as well as the golden ratio, phi, and Fibonacci sequence. In addition to that, angle theorems and proofs are added to this year. Eighth grade is also a fun and interesting year with lots of new things coming in. We explore different number bases, and the rods can be used for this. The rods can be used in seventh grade as well. I use them for exponents and radicals. Interestingly, the quadratic equation shows place value for any given number system. So we're also exploring square root algorithms. Sometimes this doesn't get presented in eighth grade. Sometimes it gets dropped, but we're exploring the Pythagorean theorem in more detail. We've done that a little bit in sixth grade with like some picture proofs and some in seventh grade, but here we're really spending a little bit more time with Pythagorean theorem. We're also continuing the work with percents and growth, and we are starting conversions between two different systems. We review the work from seventh grade in algebra and work with algebraic concepts such as the law of exponents, looking at fractional exponents and negative exponents. We work on scientific notation and order of operation and introduce equations and variables. The decimal and percentage work continues with the percent increase and decrease, and then we start looking at exponential growth versus linear growth. And we are continuing the work with converting between the two systems, units for rates, and comparing area and volume as well as density. The ratio work that we did in seventh grade propels us into more specific proportion work in eighth grade. And in geometry, we move from polygons to geometric solids. So we're looking more at area and volume, transformations, which are really fun. One of the exercises that can be done with geometric solids for eighth grade geometry is transformations with clay, and I highly suggest it. We're also looking at the relationship of these geometric solids to each other and constructing nets and building these geometric shapes ourselves out of paper. In addition, one of the things that is optional for eighth grade is a loci study, the study of curves. So it's looking at parabolas, ellipses, hyperbola, the conic sections. And we did this for my son. It was a fabulous study. We'll definitely do it for my daughter when she comes to that grade. It is often a block that gets dropped if you don't have enough time, but it's a really interesting block. That is the basic overview of how I approach math from a Waldorf perspective with lots of Gattegno and Cruzener rods mixed in. If you have any questions, as always, feel free to ask. You can just reply to any of my emails or contact me through the link in the membership area, or leave a comment at the bottom of the blog post. Until next time, enjoy your math journey.